Blog Talk Radio.
Way to start today. So, welcome everybody. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, depending on your time zone. Welcome, light workers, light body energies, seekers of the light, watchers and wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers and querents, journeymen and journeyers, seekers, star children and philosophers, and all those seeking reason and magic in these times of awakening, evolution, and transformation. Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Jeannie and Mary Peeler today, we invite you to come in out of the mainstream and gather around our nightlight in the darkness and confusion of the times. This show represents a sort of pit stop on your cosmic journey, so sit back, share your light with other light-minded people, gather for a time and be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change. This is our own very small oasis in the turmoil that we call creation. Share with us your light, we'll share ours with you, and with any luck, we can generate enough light to not only light our ways, but provide light enough for others who are seeking as well. These journeys that we're on began a very long time ago and will continue long after this lifetime has faded into memory. So gathering together, as we do every week, generates energy that can and is drawn on by countless others. Coming together and blending our lights creates energy that serves not only ourselves, but humanity as well. If you'd like to learn more about me, I invite you to visit my website, barbaradelong.com. Mary's is psychicmediummary.com. There's a ton of information on those sites, as well as links to our blogs and all of the other things that we're involved in. There's also information on the other shows that I do, of which I am honored to be included in. On the first Tuesday, the last Thursday of every month, I am privileged to be able to share the airwaves with Lizzie Starr and Hazel. And I can't tell you how exciting it is to be able to work with other people who have the same spiritual direction and insights as I do. It's a show in which, almost heaven, in which a great deal of spiritual energy is generated. So if you're feeling down, if you're feeling in need, that's the place to go for a recharge. It's really a very exciting place. And we also do free readings there as well. I also do Matrix Radio on Friday nights. We haven't started in yet. We're going to bring Matrix Radio back on the air as an interview show, and I will certainly let all of you know when that happens, because Jeannie and I are very excited about it. We're going to use that as a platform to present people with unique and different ideas and philosophies, and try to hold true to the concepts that Patrick created the show for, and that was to help to share other people's passions, no matter how unique they were, even if sometimes they don't agree with ours. But it's an exciting concept, and Jeannie and I are scouring around looking for people to pull onto that show and help give them a platform for expressing the passions they have and possibly their philosophies that may not go along with mainstream, but probably have a great deal of truth in them. So we're very excited about this. And I know one of the people that we're going to have on is Lynn Buss, who wrote Numerology for the New Age, and he also wrote The Heart of Numerology, and they're fabulous books. So I would, you know, really suggest you take a look at those if you're at all curious about numerology. If you do look at his book, my only warning is that he is so intellectual. Please don't read the introduction. You'll never get to the good stuff in the book. He lost me totally. I got very confused. But start right in with the stuff, and you will find yourself hooked for life. My co-host Jeannie is in the chat room, and though she doesn't read, she can answer most of your questions. If you want a reading, the call-in number is 347-857-2139. And she does the screening, so you will hear a sweet old Southern voice coming at you. And once she screens you, then definitely hang in there, because I will make sure that you do get a reading. Mary Peeler is on the road somewhere between Oklahoma and Florida. She's aiming for the warm weather as fast as she can get there. She's going to call in when she's able, but knowing what it's like on the road, she easily may be through some dead zones and stuff like that. So we will chat for just a little bit to see if she can call in, and if not, I'll just start off, and when she makes it in, she makes it in. Actually, I can take this opportunity to share with you that she is probably one of the more gifted mediums in the country, that it's something that she doesn't, you know, push or brag about, so other people have to do it for her. She is a phenomenally gifted lady and an incredibly talented lady, and I would say that of the aspects that she constantly presents, there is absolutely no ego trip in anything she does. She is kind and generous and unconditional in everything that she does. And because of that, the universe has given her an amazing amount of insight and joy. And she is joy itself when she shares a show with you, because she is just an amazingly creatively intelligent and talented lady. The other thing I want to do before we go to the phone lines is to apologize. Apparently, Jeannie and I, I changed the time of the show. It used to be 1 to 3, and now it's 4 to 6. And there was a glitch in scheduling, and last week we were under the impression the show was on at 4 o'clock. Imagine our surprise when we signed in to find that the show had taken place without us. Actually, there had been 9 callers, too, so I was very impressed with that. I do apologize. I think I fixed the glitch. I think the show is going to stay at 4 o'clock because it's much easier for Jeannie and me, and hopefully all of you. It's going to be an interesting year. I am looking at the energies. I am so ready for spring. It's amazing. And here in Connecticut, we are expecting another snowstorm or snow anyhow Saturday night into Sunday. I'm refusing to acknowledge it. And I'm very hopeful that by refusing to acknowledge it, it can't possibly get under the radar and hit us. I've had enough. And I don't usually get this way as far as snow and winter goes, but I've had it. I think we've had as much as 5 or 6 feet so far, and that's way more than I ever want to see again. It's been amazing this year, you know, with the 2012 stuff and all of the predictions, and of course we're all still here so that the most dire ones didn't happen. I do feel, however, that shift, that change, that your world changing and new beginnings, that did happen in everybody's lives in just not quite the catastrophic way that people had said it was going to happen. I can't tell you how the energy has shifted and changed. Everybody is feeling energy in different ways now, and it's profound. And people who don't normally have those shifts in energy, they don't feel the changes in the ether, are having all sorts of reactions to the climate and to the people around them. It's the most phenomenal thing I've ever seen. I know when spirits are around, people usually get very chilled, and people are registering the fact that those cold spots where you don't expect them are spirits standing there looking for recognition or you know, validation. It's amazing to see people coming into an understanding of the etheric realm without actually understanding the etheric realm. They're noticing the subtleties that they never noticed before. And so what we've got here is the consciousness of humanity has totally expanded, and it's almost as if you're having to take everybody back to kindergarten to say, look, this is how you deal with these kinds of things. And it's profound. It's amazing. It's exciting. And I think that history will look back on this time frame as one of those moments when humanity, in a way, started to truly wake up to the aspect and the strength and the profundity of the spiritual realm that is a part of this realm that people, you know, snicker at or hope that it's there, but we're being given more and more the absolute that yes, this is going on. Yes, there is another realm. There is another dimension. That people who cross over do go somewhere. They don't just fizzle out and go into nothingness. They go into a bright new dimension that is exciting and challenging and just amazing. So it's really an exciting time. I think that, as I said before, in retrospect, people will acknowledge that 2013 was the beginning of a whole new dimension, a whole new time, a whole new era, where spiritual and the aspect of the unknown becomes more known than it ever has been before, and it's given credit and credence, and it's certainly something that is being opened to people that never thought that way before. So it's very exciting. And I think as we go on and on with the year, as things start to expand for us, we're going to find that a lot of stuff is opening up. But let me go to the phone lines, and I'll start in, and Mary will join me when Mary joins me. She's probably in a dead spot someplace. We've got, hopefully, Faith in California. Hi, Faith, are you there?
Hello, Barbara. Yes, I'm here.
How can I help today?
Well, I have a specific question, but first I wanted to let you know I was listening to you speaking about people coming into the spiritual world more, and I want to let you know that I have recently met two of my guides through meditation.
Oh, how neat. It's very, It's exciting. I think that veil between the realms is definitely thinning, and people are being able to grasp and understand. And you know, some of it is people had in the past been fearful, and now they're looking and they're finding. And I think that's one of the most remarkable things ever.
Yeah, I'm really glad I was able to. It took me a while, maybe a couple months of trying, but I finally got there.
Well, that's great, and you know, hopefully you will continue to expand on that and reach into other aspects of the spiritual dimension that are open to you. You know, once you get your toe in the door, you keep going.
Yeah, I'm very excited for the future. But my question today is rather specific. I've had a person in my life that I've always had a deep attraction and emotional connection to, and I've known this person pretty much all my life. Mm-hmm. And they came into my life in a more romantic way for a while and then left. And then so I had let go of them, and then they came in for a brief moment and kind of pulled me back in, and I realized that these emotions aren't letting me off. I'm trying to disconnect with it, but the emotions are still there, and I'm just trying to wonder what I'm supposed to learn from this experience of continuing in this state with this person who I want. I've always felt like I've wanted, but I can't have. So
I can answer that. This is great. This is a soulmate. And you have to understand that all soulmates are meant to be mates, you know, soulmates that you live with forever and for happily ever after. Soulmates, you know, as we come back in each lifetime with reincarnation, that we go between man and woman. You know, we flip back and forth between the two. And sometimes soulmates, you know, are just best friends. And sometimes soulmates are people that you know, we do get into romantic situations with. This is a person that in the last lifetime you were together and you were close, and there was a deep, deep, deep relationship here. He was your brother.
Oh.
And what you're experiencing is that unconditional love that siblings have. And I strongly think that what you did was misinterpret that as romantic love instead of, you know, the deeper connection which comes with family and blood. And the connection is there. The connection will keep pulling him back into your life. And this is somebody that will have your back forever, that will be the best friend you ever had. Not a lover, but somebody that you love deeply because you feel that connection.
Okay.
And you know, there is a definite difference between sibling love and romantic love. And you know, give me the sibling love any day, because they will walk through fire for you. Romantic love sometimes doesn't actually last, even though we'd like it to. But sibling love is, you know, you may not like the person forever, but you're always going to love them and you're always going to be there for them. So it's a wonderful bond to have. Just what you mistook it and you tried to make it something that it hadn't been and couldn't be. But in a way, I think you have something even better. Romantic love won't make it here, but love of a sibling, a good friend, a partner in life, in crime, and everything else. Somebody that you can rely upon. But you know, I mean, making it romantic love in some ways just it didn't work. It fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
But is there love here? Absolutely. And you know, it's a lifetime of love, but it's a friendship love. It's a brotherly love. It's a sibling love. It's a love of you know, but it will last longer than any romantic love possibly could have.
Well, that's good. I that connection really helps me so much, because I have just I haven't understood why I've been connected to him, but I am not connected like that to any other person that I know of yet. And I know that I want better, as you know, in a romantic relationship than what he can give me. But I was thinking my emotions were pulling me towards him because he, you know, was there for another reason. But that reason to me is just really fulfilling. It makes me feel really good.
Yeah, no, I think that he feels the friendship. Absolutely feels the friendship. and is scared you're going to try to make it romantic again. And I think you both fell into it. I don't think anybody was, you know, the guilty party here. But you know, all you have to do is say you make the best friend and not possibly a lover. So let's just keep it at friendship. And okay. And I promise you, you will have a loyal, faithful friend for life. And you know, there will be times that people that each of you are with will not understand that friendship. But, you know, it's something that is apparently very important to both of you to have this lifetime. So if somebody isn't accepting and doesn't understand it, you know, then you take a break so that you can respect their feelings if there is a relationship going on. And, you know, always it will... You know, you won't lose them.
Okay.
So this is a remarkable love through time, which is really profound, and I think very exciting. You know, not everybody gets to do something like this, to have this kind of a connection with another person. And you know, this is a confidant. This is just a wonderful, wonderful person. You
that,
there?
That. Yes, this is, it makes me just feel so, it changes my perspective, and, you know, I was in a place of being lost, and now I feel like I understand now, and it makes me feel so much better, so I can move past this negative emotional state that I've been trying to move past with him, and these feelings of why, you know,
yeah.
What's wrong, but
You know, I think if everybody was really honest with themselves, everybody can probably put a finger on a relationship very similar to this that they've had in their own life. And, you know, and I can certainly remember somebody that I was just so, you know, we belong together, we're soulmates, and you know, it just didn't work that way, but this person ended up to be a dear friend. So.
Yeah.
So do enjoy the friendship because it's spectacular.
Okay. I will.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for taking my call. And I hope you and Mary have a great show.
I do, too, as soon as she turns up. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye
now.
Bye.
Okay. We've got... Okay, this is somebody in Colorado, and it's 720. I will not pronounce your first name right, so hi, 720-366. This is Barbara. You're on the air. Who is this?
Hi, Barbara. This is Ibitar.
Ibitar, okay. Yeah, no, I wasn't going to pronounce that right at all.
How are you?
I'm fabulous. Thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. The person, the producer that was asking me the question that I was going to ask you, I told her that, you know, I'm in a new place. I've been here about a year and a half, and that, you know, my question was about this move because everything is so new friends, new everything, and I'm looking to move into a new house, and your conversation with the previous caller, I had an experience not exactly like that because we never came together with, you know, this person that I met last year. And I know that we had been together in previous lives before. And he also came to me during my meditation and wanted to talk to me, but I really wasn't, you know, open. Because he kind of pushed me away when I saw him a few weeks ago, not just verbally or anything, but with his energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we had made an agreement that we were going to come together in this life and he was going to be there for me on some level, but it's not really completely clear about, you know, the relationship. And I don't think he was a sibling or anything like that in previous lives. I think we were together and we were married together
mm-hmm.
before.
Well, sometimes people do make that kind of a contract on the other side. You have to understand the contracts made on this side are made between personalities. The contracts made on the other side are made between spirits.
Right.
And so I would say that if your contract was made on the other side, then that's probably very true. But you never know. Things change. The things that we're all working on change. Sometimes people are meant to be together for certain periods of time in their life as they go through different types of learning situations and cross over some of those canyons of sadness that happen from time to time. So it's hard to, you know, when we're on the other side, I don't think, I know we're thinking clearly, we're asking for things that will help us to evolve and gather the faceting we need in order to really be wonderful magnifiers of the light. But somehow when it's translated to this reality, sometimes the universe has a wicked sense of humor. And I don't always appreciate it. So they do sometimes, they keep us hopping. They keep us hopping. And if your contract was made on the other side, then I have absolutely, you know, I certainly wouldn't doubt it at all that it will be, no matter how difficult it may seem.
Mm-hmm.
As far as your, what is it about your move? I think you're in a great place. I think it's a wonderful place for you to grow and to expand and to nurture your spirit, because I think you're in a wonderful place here. And from the cards that I'm seeing, it was a perfect, perfect shifting around for you, karmically speaking, as well.
Yes, that's what I feel. I feel, you know, where I moved from, I lived there for about 30 years, and it never felt like home. And this does feel like home to me in so many ways.
Yeah. I would have to agree with you. I think your spirit is just having a lovely time sinking its toes in and saying, you know, here I can grow, here I can stretch, here I can really begin to manifest some of the talents and the gifts that are inside that you haven't started to play with yet.
Right, that's true. They're coming out, though.
Wow.
I'm remembering a lot, and there's a lot of, just so many things on a spiritual, psycho-spiritual level, even with this person I'm telling you about, you know, we have such a very strong connection with each other, and we soar, you know, we really soar on the astral plane. You know, like I said, you know, we have not come together, you know, as a mate or anything like that, and I don't know if that will happen, but I do know that he gives me a lot. In so many ways, and he supports me and helps me.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're in a phenomenal spot. You're in a place also where it feels that the energy is going to be pouring into you. You've given a lot of stuff out unconditionally, and it does feel like this is a harvest time for you. But above everything else, this feels as though you're tying up a lot of karma from the past and letting go of it so that you can move into a very manifestational future here. And it does feel as though you really are at home for a time here, and this easily could be a space for you. I'd say that this is a space of recharging, a space where your energy does not only comes to peace within itself, but it is charged as well. And I feel that you have a lot of writing that you need to do that you haven't even started on yet.
I've started putting it together. I haven't actually published it yet, but I've started.
Okay.
Yeah, I started with the first, you know, just the idea, you know, doing the research and, you know, doing some writing, not a whole lot, but I hope to, you know, have it published by this year. That's my intentions anyway.
Well, I would actually get going with it, because it feels like there's a lot more work here than you anticipate.
Oh yeah, a whole lot more.
But it really does feel that you have yourself in the proper place, in the proper attitude. You have your, you know, it feels like you're working very, very nicely at getting stuff together. I would say that there is a birthing going on of a new aspect within you that is really quite profound. It looks like it's going to be very, very exciting. So, you know, the universe, of course, you know, in its infinite wisdom, always throws surprises at us. And it feels like you have a number of them coming this year. None of them feel bad. They just feel as though they are doors that open that you don't expect to open. And please, whenever a door opens, even though it's not exactly in your itinerary or on your agenda, step through them and see what's there, because there's a lot of exciting stuff here. Okay?
I will. Do you think I'll make this state my home?
I do believe you will for at least the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
And a decade seems to be the time and the place where you do a reevaluation, but it does feel as though that state has a great deal to offer you. And
okay.
I think you're just scratching the surface. From what I can see, there's an awful lot coming, and you know, basically spirit seems to be saying just get out there and you know, spread your wings. And are you Native American at all?
My father was Native.
The what I'm feeling here is drumming and drumming circles. So have you ever done that?
Yes.
I would go back into it with a lot more vigor. It does feel as though the drumming helps to put you into alpha, and that opens you up to a tremendous amount of amazing experiences. And drumming for you would be an amazing meditation and a way of crossing that light bridge into the other side, so that you can actually communicate with others on the other side.
Okay, I'll do that.
You have a great time.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're so welcome. You take care now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, drumming. Drumming is amazing. And if you have never tried it, or you have never had the experience of, and it's not necessarily a pattern of drumming, it's just the repetition of drumming and having your heart beat almost in time with the drum, it is an amazing experience and exercise for people, and I highly recommend it. It's for those who have trouble meditating. It's a wonderful form of meditation, because you have, you know, you're hitting a drum and you're focusing on something. Lots of people have trouble meditating because they just can't let go. They can't quiet their mind. But if you're drumming, if you're beating on a drum, then there definitely is a focus, and it just makes things amazingly clear and open for you. So it's a wonderful form of meditation. I would check it out if you've never done it. Okay, we've got Trish in Connecticut. Hi, Trish. How you doing?
Hey, Barbara. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous. Thank you.
My question is that my company's preparing to do some layoffs, so I'm looking for a new job.
Okay, it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea because I don't think they challenge you. I don't think there's room for you to grow. I don't think that it any longer holds for you what it once did. So are you looking in the same field?
I am.
Okay, what field would that be?
Information technology.
Okay. Actually, I would, and you are currently now looking?
Yes. I've been looking for a couple months.
Okay. I was going to say take the rest of the month off, and not realizing that that was less than a week to go. But take the rest of the month off, because you've got Phoenix Rising energy hitting you in March, which is being rebirthed out of the ashes of the old. It's an amazing process that when people go through it, they let go of a lot of the preconceived notions they had about their future, their talents, and their passions, and they are rebirthed into a greater awareness as to the directions they need to go. And I think that while you're in, you know, while what you're doing, you're very good at, I think there's an expansion of it that you've sort of missed, another area that you could get into that might well be a lot more nourishing for you, a lot more exciting for you, and would open you to a greater sense of the ability to grow. And you've got an amazing amount of talent here. I keep seeing books around you. Do you do a lot with books?
No, I don't do anything with books.
I see a lot of books around you. So it may be you're just researching something. It may be you're just looking for information on something. It may be, but in the month of March, there's a lot of books around you, and there's this Phoenix rising energy here. I feel that you're going to find what you're looking for, what is going to be perfect for you in the March April timeframe. Now, have you been let go, or are you just looking for something new because you just want to move on?
No, I've been told that I will be let go in the month of March.
Well, that would make sense here because Phoenix rising is followed up by free will, which means that you can go in lots of different directions. I feel there are at least three different job offers that you'll get. So I'm not the least bit worried, and do take some time off to just sort of let the dust settle, because this is a wonderful opportunity for you to make incredible changes in your life. And you kind of, I know it's scary. In this economy, it would be very scary for anybody in this position. So if you're not a little bit scared, there's something wrong here. But it's in many ways, it's the greatest gift the universe could give you.
Okay.
I mean, it's forcing you to make a change that you kind of knew you had to make anyhow, but you just didn't want to do it because of the economy.
Right.
And like I said earlier, the universe doesn't really pay a great deal of attention to a lot of stuff. And figures that, you know, a challenge like this at this particular point in time is something that you need, obviously. But I'm seeing things being, you know, come to you like magnets. I don't think that you have any problem at all. And it's going to be a matter of as what you choose now. And like I said, I see three different offers coming your way. Please don't just look at the one that is offering you the most money, because most probably that is going to be the one that has the least amount of opportunity for growth and excitement and creative stuff. And it feels as though the amount of money being offered is quite similar. You know, so it's not that, you know, we're not talking the difference between $100,000 and $40,000. We're talking, you know, a couple thousand dollars here or there.
Oh, okay.
Look for the one that is the most exciting, that makes you smile. Because
okay.
that's where you'll truly flower. And I think that the rest of this year is going to be absolutely spectacular. June has lots of new beginnings opening up, spirituality. There's a lot of letting go of some of the protective shielding you've put around yourself so that you can, there's a feeling of lightness, there's a feeling of expanding beyond your own barriers and going outside the box and doing things that are just so cool. It's amazing.
Wow, that sounds great.
It really, it looks spectacular. I think that the universe in its wisdom has done an amazing thing for you, and the potential for you to really be spectacularly surprised with your future is absolutely here because of it. So, you know, we're not going to write a thank you note to those that have, you know, set this up, but I think it's really an amazing time for you, and I would absolutely take a couple of weeks off just to sort of sit back and as I said before, let the dust settle, and then by then there will be three offers that you can look at.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time to give me that insight.
You are so welcome. Where in Connecticut are you?
Hartford.
Oh, okay. I'm in Middlebury. I'm north of you, I think.
Yeah, so you're getting ready for the big snowstorm.
Oh, please. Are they saying a big snowstorm now?
It depends. I'm actually going to Massachusetts, and they're going to get 6 to 10 inches.
Oh, yeah, they're going to get clobbered. I think we're in the 1 to 3 inches, and 1 to 3 is nothing compared to what we've had already.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, drive all safely.
Right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Yes, Connecticut has been sort of hit by tons of stuff so far, and not a fun winter. Although all the snow will be very good for the garden, so for that I am very, very grateful. We've got Debbie in L.A. Hi, Debbie. How are you doing today?
Good. Hi. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. You're warm, right?
Well, for you, warm. It probably seems like summer here, but it's chilly. 30s and 40s is chilly for us.
Yeah, I would say that is. Well, how can I help today?
I would like to see what you see as far as a job. I just feel blah about work, and I've never felt this way before. And I know I can manifest something, but nothing is coming to me to manifest. I also know that I'm going through some kind of initiation right now spiritually, and I don't know, you know, besides the cold that I have, if that has anything to do with it.
Probably. So you're looking for a new direction to go in?
Yes. You put it right, exactly the way I meant to.
Well, first of all, why is your immune system so down? Have you been worrying a great deal about this?
Yeah, and I've been worrying about some people around me too. That's what someone else told me, that I've been worrying about my mom and two animals that I'm trying to help back to health.
Well, first off, stress is really, you know, what's really hacking at you. You're not drinking enough water. That would help. You have such a wonderful affinity for helping other people. Sometimes you forget to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, let me rephrase that. All the time you forget to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, it just feels like you keep going to the point where you exhaust yourself, and that's not helpful for anybody, you know, and sooner or later people are going to have to take care of you if you don't take care of you. So, you know, I'd kick it back a little bit and give yourself a little bit of slack, because you are an amazingly creative and spiritual person. And you have people skills that are just profound.
Thanks.
Almost feel like you are practicing therapy without a license.
Yes, definitely. That's why I feel like people keep coming to me so much.
Well, yeah, but, you know, unless you have the credentials for it, I would definitely stop.
Okay. I think of it as just common sense, actually.
Well, to a degree it is, but it feels like a couple people there have emotional problems that you don't have the credentials for.
Okay.
And that's, I think, one of the things one of the hardest lessons for me to learn as a reader or as a counselor is that sometimes people's difficulties are way beyond my credentials, and it's important for me to say, you know, that's just way more than you know, I can hold your hand, I can cheer you on, but you need professional help for that one.
Would that be my mother?
a little bit. And I think also you're just too close. Sometimes we get so close and involved that we lose our objectivity. And that's what therapists and things like that are for, because they can be objective. They don't have the emotional baggage going into these situations. They can sit back and they can really see things a lot more clearly. And you're trying to... you're trying to analyze without all the pieces of a puzzle, and that's hard to do.
Okay.
You know, you can be supportive, you can do all of the other stuff, but with your mom, she's got issues she has to work on that you know, are sort of, they're why she's here. She's here to learn to deal with them or experience them. I'm not sure which. Whichever it is, she will make the choices and she will do what she needs to do to gather what she needs to gather this lifetime. And sometimes I think the hardest thing for any of us to accept, to learn, to grow with is that not everyone comes into this lifetime to be healed or to be changed. Sometimes we need to experience the sadness or the depression or the illness or whatever it is that is heaped on us. And there are not only important lessons for the person going through these things, but for those that are around and supportive and everything else, there are huge lessons that they gather because of that illness. So that people think, well, I'm caught with this person because I have to protect them. But the reality is that's only half of it. When we are confronted with situations, each person is learning an equal amount of wisdom from the other person, just not in the same area.
I understand. Yeah, I get that. I get that.
I mean, I can't tell you the number of times in meditation groups and stuff somebody has said to me, and I love this, I'm with my husband to teach him how to be more spiritual. Of course, my question back was, and what is he teaching you? Oh, don't be ridiculous. I'm more highly evolved than he is. And I said, well, humility might be something you have to learn too.
Yeah. And even my boyfriend has some of the same things, though not as mean as my mother, as far as these like emotional explosions. And I know to let somebody just have their explosion, but I physically feel it. Even if I don't respond to it, mm-hmm. I feel like it's a jab towards me, even if it's not towards me. If I'm in the room, I feel like I take the hit.
Well, then maybe you have to learn to build buffers and barriers and stuff like that.
Yes, I'm trying to get a thick skin. I'm very empathic, and I've been working on that for a while.
And it's sort of like your difficulty appears to be that you are so connected to it that you feel it. And you should be able to walk out the door and close the door and not feel it anymore because you didn't bring it with you. There's a wonderful, wonderful old story. A wise, wise, wise old man and his apprentice were in a mystical order in which, they were celibate. They didn't touch women. They didn't talk to women even. And they were trekking across the desert and they came to a stream. And here was a gorgeous woman, just totally naked, holding her clothes. And she looked at the apprentice, because the old man was really old, and said, could you carry me across? I can't, it's too deep for me and I can't make it. And he looked at her and he ranted and he raved and he said, how could you do this to me? I can't talk to women. I can't touch women. It's just, he fumed and he fussed and he fussed and he fussed. And the old man, the priest, picked up the woman, carried her across, put her down the other side and kept walking. And the apprentice fussed at him for mile after mile after mile. How could you do that? You compromised your spirit. And finally the old man, whacked him across the head with his staff and said, I only carried her across the river. You're still carrying her.
Okay.
And so I love that story.
That is a good story.
So the reality here is you are, you're empathic, you're telepathic, you've got lots of talents and skills here on the spiritual level that are just profound, and I would love for you to find a place where you could, practice these talents rather than on analyzation of your friends and family.
Okay. Yeah, I did get a message for a friend at work from her grandmother, and I couldn't believe it, and I gave it to her, and she said it was correct. That's what I thought the initiation part was about, but I don't know if that's what I'm supposed to do for a living or keep doing what I'm doing.
I think keep doing what you're doing for a while anyhow. But
well,
I would find a good spiritualist church and see if they're giving any classes in mediumship and stuff like that.
Okay.
Because I think you've got a lot of really good talent here. And frankly, nobody makes a living out of this stuff. This stuff you know.
Yeah, that's what made me nervous anyway.
No. Yeah, it's a wonderful gift that the universe gives you, and gifts are meant to be given away. That's why Mary and I do these shows. That's why, you know, it's
thank you for that. Thank you.
Oh, I learn as much from those that call in and those in the chat room as you know, as hopefully they pick up from me. So, but it's I think that it would be magical for you to really kind of experience a lot of stuff like Reiki energy or
I took Reiki.
Are you practicing it?
No, well, I did initially. I need to pick it back up because of the animals I'm trying to help. But no, I haven't been lately. I've been overextended helping people. I know.
See, I mean, telepathic.
There's so many needy. My family's so needy. And then, you know, I work in the public and, you know, I enjoy it, actually, the people. I don't like the retail part of it, but I work in a cosmetics company, so I like talking to people, but there's a lot of people that need help, it seems like.
Well, everybody needs help. I mean, you know, you get down to it, all of us need help. I mean, we all have issues we're working through, and sometimes someone just smiling and saying you're doing a great job is all you need to do. And it does here feel that the spiritual is where you belong. However, you do need to have some sort of foot in reality. So a mundane job of some sort is really important. And I would, you know, I would say in the healing modalities, looking towards spas and things like that, I think that you truly belong in a spiritually oriented anything. Whether it's doing green construction or whether it's you know, working on helping people, nutritional counseling, you'd be great at that.
I do like natural fragrance. Like I lean people towards more natural things already.
Uh-huh.
But I would have liked to have moved up by now, and I didn't. And that's why, you know what, I just need to answer my own question. That's why I'm so depressed. I did not move up, and I thought I would. It would take me out of the floor as much. You know, I'd work from home, and that just didn't happen. And I think that made me sad. I just realized that.
Well, you know, it's sort of like it's up to you to do it. And if they didn't do it, then you do it for yourself. You know, if you're looking for acknowledgement and validation from people that you're employed by, that's not right. You know, the validation has to come from the joy of doing what you're doing.
Oh, no, I get that. I know I do get that, and I do get acknowledgement and accolades. I just don't get a promotion.
Well, then maybe you should be working for yourself.
Okay. No. Yikes. Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't do that immediately, but I would have that as a goal and work towards that. I think that you definitely know where you belong. There's no doubt about it. And it feels as though you have real talent and skill here. So it's a matter of trusting the universe and following where your gut takes you and being truthful with yourself about what it really is you want to do with your life if you grow up.
Okay.
And you're never going to grow up, so don't even worry about that.
I know, Aquarius, we don't grow up.
No, I think that holding on to that child within is the most important thing any of us can do. It has a sense of joy, a sense of laughter, a sense of all sorts of wonderful stuff. So now you don't grow up. That would be ridiculous. That wouldn't be any fun. It does feel that you do cross a threshold of some sort in April, and that by the time you get to May, that there is movement here, that you have moved on to something new, and it does feel as though it's a really good fit for you for a while, but you should sit down and you should, you know, really take a look at the goals that you have set for what you want to do with your life. And that doesn't mean your whole life. It just means possibly the next decade, and sort of write it down so that you have some sort of a roadmap for what you're going to be focusing on and stretching yourself into.
Okay. I wanted to tell you, you were telling the lady about the books. I am surrounded by books. The lady, I think she was ahead of us.
Uh-huh.
I have books on the floor, books on the couch, books all over in my bed. You said something about someone having books all over. I think it was me.
Well, could have been. But it's important, actually, that you read them.
I do. Oh, my gosh, I do.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
I love my books.
I think that in many ways they're just reminders of what you already know.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, you made me feel so much better.
Well, I'm so glad. Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care now.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okie doke. We've got Jeannie hasn't texted me, so Mary hasn't gotten in. I'll still hold out hope for her. You never know. I'm sure she's probably by now a tad confused by time zones, because I think she's probably crossing a couple. So we got Cheryl in Texas. Hi, Cheryl. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys? I'm enjoying the show today. It's very interesting.
Oh, thank you. I always learn. It's really so cool. I mean, if learning had been this much in school, I would have worked a lot harder.
Well, I try to learn something every day. Most days I do, and some days I don't, but for the most part. But I was going to talk to you a little bit about last year. It's my understanding that the universe is kind of going through a cleansing, and that those things that no longer serve you are being removed from your life.
Right.
Well, I lost one of the things that was removed last year was my best friend of 10 years, and before that was another friend that I actually had dreamt about that I would lose that friendship or they would be distant. And all this started catching up with me, kind of my life right now, in December, and I became extremely depressed. And I've been working through that through all the way through January. And I just feel like my motivation and my direction isn't there. And I was hoping that you could help me kind of understand that and kind of look toward the future.
Well, you know, our lives are really spiritually guided. We have set ourselves a roadmap on the other side before we came into this lifetime. Unfortunately, we didn't bring it with us, so that we aren't really cognizant of what our spirit has set us up for, and is moving us into and through and. You know, where we're supposed to stop and smell the roses and where, you know, we're supposed to stop and go ahead. Our personalities, unfortunately, are so controlled by our environment and our teachers and our friends and things like that that we lose sight. You know, there's an old quote, it's not mine. I just don't know who said it, but we're not humans on a spiritual journey. We're spirits on a human journey. So part of the process of this lifetime is to learn and to gather and to grow. And sometimes people, you know, have been the trigger for whatever wisdom we were supposed to gather, and so they move on. And you have to understand that this lifetime is not, it's only a single grain of sand on the beach of eternity. It's a short stop. And though people come in and go out of our lives, it doesn't mean that they're gone. It just means that they're not there right at the moment. I have a good friend who's in Asheville, Tennessee, and I haven't seen her for 8 or 9 years, and yet she's one of my best friends. And every now and then we reconnect on the telephone, but, you know, just because she's not here physically doesn't mean that she's not still my friend. I think that you're growing in such amazingly huge spurts that you are outdistancing your friends on a spiritual level, and sometimes when that happens, we have to honor where they are and where we are, and just as they hopefully have to honor where we are and they are. It's a process. It's a growth process, and honoring the fact that people that we thought were our best friends are no longer in our lives is a very hard pill to swallow. And the reality is you're just in different places for right now. 10 years, 15 years, 20 years from now, you may find yourself back giggling together again, or not, but you will have replaced them with new friends who are, you know, on the same path in the same place as you are. It's not, I don't believe that you know, there's anger here involved. It's just that you're in a different place, and thank God. Because if we weren't growing, this lifetime would be pointless. So, you know, it's you know, one door closes, another one opens. And I do feel every now and then I think about people who are no longer in my life, and I'm so grateful that other people have, you know, come into my life. And, you know, as far as a best friend, I don't have 20 or 30 years that I can put into a relationship anymore, but I have friends, the best friends, the special friends. You know, all you need is a couple, and it does feel like you still have a couple of really, really good friends here.
I do. I just treasured those that I lost, and one was particularly painful. We were, you know, sisters in many ways.
Uh-huh.
And I think we were soul sisters in other lifetimes. I just and I don't believe that we're not friends anymore, but I do believe we're not going to be close because of the situation.
I would tend to agree with you, but you know, friendship really does transcend time and space. So that it doesn't mean that you won't be friends with her again in another life or on the other side. It just means that for a short period of time, it's appropriate for both of you to not have that friendship, to have to search for other friendships, to have to search for other ways to fill that void that is now there. I understand how painful it can be, but at the same time, It leaves you open to examine yourself more thoroughly and understand the quality of friendship and exactly what it is that you want to have in your life and to attract that to you. Have you done a vision board anytime in the past?
I have not.
It is probably one of the most exciting things you could possibly do, and it feels so often when you're doing it like you actually feel foolish. But the reality here is letting the universe know what it is exactly that you really want to draw into your life and making a contract with the universe that you know, you will open and embrace what the universe sends you. And if a friendship has fallen apart that you thought, you know, was special, and it was, I absolutely, you know, will validate that was a spectacular friendship. It means that there is a need for small isolation and then picking something else up that will nurture you in a different way, nurture and challenge you in a different way. You haven't actually lost anything. It's just not there at the moment. So you need to really focus on the fact that, okay, we're, you know, I'm moving to another phase of life here, and I'm going to reach for things in a different way, in a different space. I think that both of you need the time and the space. You know, perhaps there was too much leaning on each other, too much sharing, too much, you know, trying to, you know, be one. Have you come through time together? Yeah, you have. You've been sisters, absolutely, in past lifetimes. And you will be again. It's not that she's gone forever, because she's not. But for now, she is. So it's a time for you to get back to a lot of the work that you haven't been doing. This is the time, you know, when the universe gives us those times I want to almost say, when the universe creates a bubble of time for you so that you can take time to work with yourself and on yourself, please take it, because it means that there are challenges coming, and you're going to need to discover some of your strengths, some of your passions, and alternate ways for you to impact the universe. This year is going to be a tremendously busy year for you. It's going to be crazy. and yeah. You really, really, yes, it's a good crazy though.
Okay.
It's very, very busy. It's very, very chaotic. And for some reason, though you sound like somebody that likes to have things very structured and very neat, it's chaos that really drives you to your greatest feats of creation and stuff. So chaos is coming, and it's a good chaos. I hear you and see you laughing tremendously, but being overwhelmed by a lot of stuff coming from a lot of different directions. By the time, you know, March, it's your intuition, your gut is really, you know, absolutely on target. And April, you've got magic and miracles, expecting the unexpected. And by May, there's a sense of pregnancy here, as though a thought, a creative project of some sort is going to begin to manifest and shift and change your life profoundly. So you've got, and are you writing? Because you should be.
I don't write. You mean like automatic writing, or do you mean like writing books? Or
yeah, I I would love you to do a journal. I think there's strong potential that from your journal you could write a book, but a journal would be a way of putting your feelings and your philosophies down on paper. And again, you haven't lost anything. I know you feel a sense of loss. I can feel it. But you haven't lost anything, because every memory you have is full, rich, and totally inside of you. So you have, you know, you may not be experiencing that kind of richness anytime soon with her, but there are other people coming in that will give you a richness as well. So this is a great time for you. This is a fabulous time for you, and writing is one way to sort of pour yourself into the pages of a notebook so that you're not holding everything inside and creating discomfort there.
Do you see fear in my energy? Is that what's holding me back?
I would say that on a consciousness level, yeah. Change is fearful for you for some reason. I know you do welcome it on a deep spiritual level. I recognize that, but there is a fear that change might not be good, and the reality is all change is good. All change is possible. It just brings us out of our little comfort zones, and you know, pulling us out of comfort zones is sometimes unsettling. Not fearful, but unsettling for sure. You've got wonderful things here. You've got a wonderful spiritual flow. You have magic inside of you that you haven't even touched yet. And it's a matter of you're trying to think so hard, you're not allowing the universe to do the healing process that is so important for you. Stop trying to analyze and think. This is not a time for that. This is a time of trust and allowing.
Okay.
You got a lot of great stuff here.
Well, I'm hoping to work with children in hospitals soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's been kind of a service level. And so I put in a volunteer application, so I hope to hear back from them. But I think that's where I can kind of use some of my healing interests in helping. I've always been drawn toward children. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, you'll be fabulous at it, but understand, please, that you have to understand that oftentimes disabilities come to spirits that need to have those disabilities, and not everybody is meant to be healed. So, you know, I see the potential here for you to do great good, but the potential as well for you to become so caught up in the physical reality, you forget the spiritual reality. Do you understand where I'm going?
I think so. The basically, thine will be done, and
yes.
That whatever that will is God's will, and that I'm to support them and help them, but it's ultimately it's God's will and not self will.
Very often, healers especially. don't understand that you're not necessarily working on the physical body, you're working on the spiritual body. And the physical body may have to pass in order for the spiritual body to be healed. So that's a tough one. You have to be ready for that. I know my husband had lung cancer, and I used Reiki energy on him. And it's like that story from the Bible, the crippled woman. A soldier came into the town after Jesus had been through it, and everybody was talking about the miracles, and I was healed from this, and I was healed from that, and I was healed from this. And he saw a crippled woman in the town square, and she was just so joyful and radiating. And he said, I thought Jesus had just been through. And she said, he had. And he said, well, why weren't you healed? And she looked at him and said, but I was.
Mm.
Yeah, that concept has to be there if you're going to be a good healer. Because sometimes there is great joy in the passing of someone who was ready to move on to the next dimension. And you know, that's a celebrative time. It's not a time for mourning. And with children especially, it's a very hard thing to wrap your arms around, and you know, you certainly don't go up to the parents and say, well, let's celebrate now. But you as a healer have to understand that a death is a celebration, because a spirit has won a battle with life and gone on to the next level. So
I'll have to think about that one.
Yeah.
I'll have to ponder that one a while to come to terms with it. I understand what you're saying.
Otherwise, you can open yourself up to amazing depression and the feeling of failure. And you have to understand that when you send healing energy, the spirit within takes that energy and utilizes it for what is most important, to be healed. And often it is not the physical body.
Mm. Okay.
I think you're going to do absolutely magnificently beautifully. But I think you need to make sure you keep your balance and understand that your gifts are to the spirit, and the spirit has weird and wonderful ways of taking those gifts and using them. And it isn't yours to tell the spirit where to put that energy. It's yours to channel the energy, release the energy, knowing that the spirit that is on the receiving end is going to take it and use it for the highest good of the whole.
I'm just the vessel.
Yep.
You're just
the channel.
Mm-hmm. For the energy to work through.
Yeah, and it's not your responsibility, nor are you capable of telling that spirit where to take that energy. I mean, when my husband was dying, I was sending energy like crazy, thinking, you know, heal your lungs, stay here a while longer. And he most probably was using that on emotional hurts and things like that, that the spirit needed to heal before it could release. You know, and you know, I was focusing on those damn lungs, and he was taking the energy, he was sopping it up. I knew he was using it, and I just, you know, there were moments where it was like, but why aren't you healed? And maybe he was. Maybe he was so healed he was able to move on. I'm a Reiki master, so, you know, it's kind of like, okay, you know, boy, I flunked that one. But I think that you need to have the proper perspective. I think you've got the threads of it. I think you've got the pieces of it. It's just putting it all together so that you don't open yourself up to be depressed, because you always succeed when you send energy with the right intent. Always succeed.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll work on my mental attitude.
You'll do just fine. You take
Thank
it easy
you.
Now.
Bye-bye. I'll make sure I download this episode so I can replay it to myself at a later date to remind myself.
That might be not a bad idea.
Yeah, because I have a tendency to remember things and then kind of let them go and then go back in the heat of the moment and then remember them again. So thank you for that. It's beautiful.
Well, you're so welcome. And you know, it's gratifying that these shows are archived and that people absolutely do download them. And it's, you know, Jeannie and I often sit back and, you know, we have a couple hundred people listening each time, but some of our episodes have been archived, you know, 4,000 and 6,000 times. And it's like, holy mackerel. So it must be doing good someplace.
That's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, it
well,
is.
Thank you
it,
so much.
You're so welcome. You take care now.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we've got Linda in Florida. Hi, Linda. How are you doing?
Yes, very good. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you. How can I help today?
I'd like to know if you can tell me, there's someone that I'd like to reconnect with, speak to, and talk to again. I'd like to know if you could tell me if you see, like, how you see that happening.
Is this somebody you had a relationship with?
Of sorts, yeah. I mean, not a relationship, but yeah, friendship. And he has a love interest.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know where he is. You can pick up the phone anytime you want, right?
Yeah, but I don't think he'll take my call. I don't think he'll call me.
Yeah, I think that you know, I want to say to you that you need to let go of this and let yourself be free. I think that there were lessons here that you learned. I think from what I can tell, there were triggers that opened you to greater understanding and wisdom. It looked spectacular. I think you need to let go so that you can allow somebody else to come in. And once you set yourself free from this, how long have you known this person?
About 5 years.
I just get you need to let go. How far away is this person from you?
Distance-wise, about a half hour.
Okay. It's a he, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He feels emotionally damaged. I'm not saying you did it, by the way, but I feel he's emotionally damaged. And it does feel as though struggling to create a facade of I'm okay. And I think you're drawn to the hurt that is in this person. And you have a wonderful capacity for collecting people that have had, you know, tough times and need to be given a loving surrounding so that they can heal. And this person is terrified of having to face their inner demons. And I'm not saying he has demons, you know, real demons, but I am saying there are aspects of their emotional stuff that he needs to fix and face. And doesn't need them pointed out to him. He wants to do it in his own time. And it feels like you tried to put a mirror up for him and and that would not be healthy for him.
I didn't point out, you know, specifics, but I did know that he was going through some things. And, you know, without being critical or anything, just, you know, being positive, I did recommend that he try to think about seeing psychologists because they can help their professionals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm out of my realm in that area. I have no clue. And I thought by backing away from the situation, it would be better for our future if, you know, there's to be
mm-hmm.
one, you know, for us to reconnect it. You know, he'd do that, and I don't know if, you know, if he's in the process of doing that or not.
Probably not, because it's very, very painful. And lots of times we're meant to go through lifetimes with a handicap like that. And I don't know why I think it sucks. And you know, there I'm sure is a very profound meaning, you know, for it. I just don't know what that is. But I do know that you have to honor a person for where they are and who they are. And
yeah.
And if they are in a place of trauma, of upheaval, of whatever, trying to help them get out of it or through it is damaging, because for some reason they need to have the pain, they need to have the disorientation, and so long as, you know, if you're trying to help make things better at a time when it's not right to have things made better, you can complicate things and you can make things more difficult.
I don't want that to happen.
No,
I just, you know, I'll let him know that, you know, I'm here, and, you know, if he wants to talk,
okay. Nope, I would move on. Because what you're doing is you are putting a halt on your own progress. And by doing that, you know, you're stopping your own life moving ahead. If I can actually promise you that if you just sort of let it go, and I know it's easy for me to flip out there, it's very hard to do, but if you can let it go and move on with your life, that the chances of him coming back into your life are far greater. Because by standing still and waiting, you're basically putting this situation into a holding pattern. So not only will you not move forward, but he cannot get better so long as you're waiting for him to make a choice or a decision or a move. You get on with your life, you put everybody's wheels in motion again, and then the possibility of him coming back into your life of picking the phone up are far greater.
Oh, I see. So my waiting isn't helping. It's
hindering.
It's holding him up.
Absolutely. It's holding both of you up.
Oh, well, I have no problem moving on. I mean, I'm certainly open to that. I just didn't think it would help.
Well,
so, okay.
Yeah, you know, like you said, it's not. You don't have the credentials. And
right.
And I don't either in something like this. It's kind of like, holy cow, you know, like I said before, you know, I'll be your cheerleader, I'll hold your hand, but you have to have professional help.
All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. You were a great help to me.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, listen, let me just give you a couple more things here, because you have a sense of freedom as you come into March. You have a guardian angel around you that you're going to actually be aware of, and great abundance coming in the May timeframe, and the foundation of new beginnings and new directions as you get into June. You get on that bicycle and you pedal like hell, and I promise you magic is going to happen in your life.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Take care now.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, those of us who are on a spiritual journey, and you know, anybody who calls into this show has to be on a spiritual journey. It would be impossible to listen to this show and listen to the people that come onto this show without being on a spiritual journey. Sometimes it's hard to remember, and it's hard to take, and it's hard to understand that we have to keep moving. We have to keep our lives going, because if we don't, then we stop things cold, and we wonder what happened. And the reality is, you know, you stop moving, I stop moving, you know, the universe falls apart. And you know, not everybody's going to stop moving, of course, at the same time. But it's we're on a journey, and we should be in motion. We should be fueling that journey with our creative aspects. And when we fuel it with our creativity, then we create a magnetic force that goes out and draws other people who are doing the same thing. So by sitting and waiting for somebody to change, you stop that motion. You stop the whole process. And when nobody's moving and nobody's growing, then everybody gets bored, and then they get ugly, and then they, you know, want to blame somebody. And the reality is, the more you fuel your life, the faster things go, the more exciting things are, and then the magic happens, because then you're sending out this wonderful energy of creation and excitement, and that's what you attract to yourself. That's what we're all looking for. And it's magic, and it absolutely, absolutely happens. I've experienced it, and I've also seen what happens when I forget to be creative and everything comes to a screeching halt. So I speak from extreme experience here. Okay, we've got Mindy in Oklahoma. Hi, Mindy, how are you doing?
Hi.
What can I do for you today?
Hi. Hi, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you there for a second. I just have a quick question.
Sure.
I've been divorced for a couple of years now, and I've been on some dates and things, and they've just been disastrous. And I just wondered, when am I going to meet the right person?
Are you on a dating service of any kind?
I have been, but I've just met real losers.
Well, yeah, that's I was going to tell you to get off.
Okay, good.
I'm not impressed with them. No. Their advertising is spectacular, but I do kind of doubt it. I know people who know people that have, you know, found the love of their life and all of that there, but as a rule on the whole, no. I can tell you absolutely. I can give you the recipe. I can tell you how to attract magic into your life.
Okay.
Do you have pencil and paper ready?
I do.
Okay. Stop looking.
Oh, I've been told that so many times. I'm just impatient.
I understand that. But the reality here is, as soon as you stop looking and start working on yourself and your own life, and I realize that everything, you know, and I know this sounds so trite, but I've lived this one too. It's one of the benefits of being really, really old. You know, I can talk from experience. When you get your life to a place where you're just so content, it just oozes out of your system, you will attract to yourself the soulmate you're looking for. And I can tell from the cards that's what you're looking for. I can also tell from the cards that you have miracles coming into your life. So your impatience, you know, and I've been there too, where I've done all the work and where's the reward? And when you get to that point, the work is truly not done, even though you think it is.
Uh-huh.
And there are very few. You can't bullshit the universe. You just can't.
Right.
I mean, there have been times and moments in my life where it's like, okay, I've done all this. Now, where is my reward? And all I hear is laughter on the other side. Like, you think you're done? Are you crazy, woman? And so. So what happens is when you become the person you want to have in your life, and that means you become whole, you become, and the card that's missing here for you, the one part that is that you aren't including in your whole battery of tools, and you have a profound number of them and amount of them, is joy and laughter. And I will tell you that I can tell you you have a soulmate coming. I can tell you that they will find you. You don't have to find them. All you need to do is to just be joyful in your life. Do things that give you pleasure. And you know, it can be as strange as underwater basket weaving, or as common as going to flea markets and tag sales. Whatever gives you joy, whatever makes you feel good, and always have a smile, always have a comment, always be ready to be drawn into, you know, weirdness wherever it happens, because, you know, that the person that you're looking for may not be there, but it helps to energize that spirit inside of you. I was in the post office a couple of years ago at Christmas time, and I noticed that they normally had music, and there was no music there. And I looked around, a huge crowd standing in line, very bored. And I said just to everybody, I said, "What happened to the music? They always have music, and this sucks. There's no music here." And there was a man behind me in line, and he said, "Well, you could sing." And I said, "My voice sucks. I won't sing unless you do." And before you knew it, I had 30 people in the post office laughing and singing Christmas carols, and some of the attempts at harmony were just absolutely disastrous, but they were fabulous, and everybody was laughing. And and you know, you can create moments like that to put a smile on your face and all the other people there as well. I can guarantee that through the day, every now and then, somebody had an inward chuckle because of what had happened.
Right.
And when you create that kind of joy, it radiates from you, and you draw to yourself someone who has that same quality. And you know, was I looking to create a magnet for a special person in my life at that moment? No. But you know, you have enough of those moments in life, you have fun from them, you take joy from them, and you walk outside just feeling so good, it's almost like you're walking on clouds. And when you're radiating that kind of energy, you draw to yourself other people who are doing the same thing. What we do is we draw people to ourselves who become mirrors for us. And if you're pulling people into your field that are quote unquote losers, there's a part of you that you don't feel complete with.
Right.
So you work on that. And you don't worry at all about, you know, looking for someone, because you know that when you're in the right place and you're radiating the right energy, magic comes your way. You've got miracles here. It's going to happen this year.
It will be this year?
It'll be this year.
Do you know his name?
No, I don't know his name. If I gave you a name, you would absolutely not look at anybody that didn't have their name. Don't be ridiculous.
You're right.
The universe does not give me a name. It doesn't give me a physical description. I will tell you that there is a bubbling sense of joy in this person. He will be secure. He will be healthy. He will not. You know, he will not be struggling. He will have a joy of life and a joie de vivre that is amazing, and a wicked, cruel sense of humor.
Great. That's what I love.
So, and you know, extraordinarily intelligent, very, very, very intelligent, a challenge to your mind. That doesn't necessarily mean a lot of degrees. It just means very, very intelligent, and that's more important. I think a college degree of any sort, no matter what level it is, does not give you any indication of how intelligent a person is.
I agree with you there, yes.
You
okay.
know, I know PhDs that are stupid.
I know exactly what you mean.
I mean, they got a piece of paper, but, you know, doesn't prove anything to me if they can't open a can. So that there's this, and you know, life, the school of life is far more profoundly worthy of, you know, a challenge than any academic. So you've got somebody coming, but you have to create the environment that will nurture that relationship. And you don't have it yet, but you're real, real close.
Okay. But he'll find me, right? I mean, we will find each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The last time I declared I was ready for a soulmate, I just sent two things out to the universe. One was, I'm ready for a healthy relationship, but I'm not going to go looking. And it better be the best relationship I've ever had, or don't even bother sending someone. And they're going to have to come and find me on my computer in my computer room, because I'm not going to go looking. And damned if somebody didn't come into my chat room, that IM'd me and we started talking, and I ended up married. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. Our very first date was driving across country with his three kids. So it does work. It absolutely does work. But, you know, you work on it, and you work on yourself. It's not a matter of being at the right place or the right time. It's not a matter of having the right makeup or the right clothing. It's a matter of having the right energy, because you want a soulmate. You just don't want a person to go out with.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's worth waiting for. It's absolutely worth waiting for.
But it will be this year, though, right?
It will be this year.
Oh, my gosh.
If you do the work you need to do on yourself. It's totally up to you. you will put the energy out there. If you put the energy out there, it will draw the person to you. If the people that you're being, you know, that you're drawing in are not exactly spectacular, then you know what to do.
Yes.
I mean, so it's all up to you. You know, it has nothing to do with anything else. It's a matter of you get your energy to the right place and magic happens. And the universe, you know, definitely, the universe will send you people that are not quite that. If you settle for less than you're worth, that's what you get.
I'm not going to settle.
Okay. Then I think you're in great shape. I think that's the other part we have to understand. You have to be discerning. You know, yes, your energy will attract people, and so it's important that you absolutely pay attention to your red flags. If there's a red flag, you walk away. You don't try to change the flag or dye it another color. You walk away.
Right.
So. Wait till somebody who is worthy of you comes into your life.
Okay.
You're in good shape.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care now.
Thanks. You too. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we've got Michelle. Hi, Michelle. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Absolutely fabulous. How can I help you today?
Well, I feel like I'm in a major transition with my career. And so I was wondering if you might be able to shed some light on that. And that's probably my biggest question. Maybe about a little bit about the progression of my relationship, but that's probably the biggest one.
What is it you do?
I'm a chiropractor.
You belong in the healing profession, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
No question, you're a healer. And it does feel here, and you work out of home?
No, I have an office.
I'm feeling the home is somehow involved in your career. I'm not sure how, but it could well be that you're very at home within your career.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel as though you are evolving. There are changes here, absolutely. Are you expanding your expertise and talents into new areas? Because that's here as
yes.
well. Okay.
Yes, that's right where I'm at, just the beginning. A little scary.
are you involved in network chiropractic at all?
No. This wouldn't be that. No,
okay.
I'm kind of moving away from chiropractic, I guess, the way that I used to do it.
Well, let me explain to you what I see going on here.
Okay.
You are absolutely a profound healer. There's no doubt about it. You've done hands-on healing in from what I can see, at least a dozen or so past lifetimes. And the most important, the most profound of them goes way, way back. I'm talking 3,000-4,000 years. You have magic in your hands, and you have over time, through different concurrent lifetimes, you have worked with your hands in many different ways. I would say that standard traditional methods of chiropractic don't feel right to you. They feel as though they are almost claustrophobic for you, and you really want to allow your hands to do what they naturally would do, and yet there's a part of you that restricts that because you feel that you have to stay traditional in order to do what it is you're doing.
Right.
Have you ever done any Reiki at all?
Yeah, I'm a Reiki master.
Well, then you know with Reiki as well. You know, they give you a pattern, they give you a structure, and then they tell you, for God's sakes, do what feels right to you.
Right.
And it feels to me as though you are right on the brink of allowing yourself to become the true healer that you actually are. But, unfortunately, you are restricted, you know, by your degree and your credentials.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a dilemma.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting ready to go to learn biofeedback and neurofeedback.
Um, I think those are great tools for you, and I certainly wouldn't discourage you from doing it. But at the same time, you are a natural healer. And I think that, you're going more scientific than I really would like. The scientific stuff restricts you. And I'm kind of really concerned about, you know, and all of that other stuff, absolutely fine, but it's keeping you more scientifically oriented, and that will restrict you. You will go to the books, you will see what this means and what that means. And instead of allowing yourself to find the answer that, and I understand your dilemma. I think the extra credentials and everything else will bring more people in, and absolutely
right.
will do that. But the stumbling block that I am seeing here is that quite often difficulties and problems that occur within the body have past life reflections to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not touching that at all.
Mm-hmm.
You're not paying okay. attention to that. I mean, it's very similar to the fact that phobias, people who have phobias of any kind, you know, the irrational fears of whatever, whether it's caramel ice cream or spiders or whatever, is always 100% directly reflected to a past life.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, total sense. And it's a trauma that was so traumatic that it imprinted the spirit, and the spirit brought that trauma into this lifetime. Can't explain why there is the reluctance to, you know, eat caramel ice cream or whatever, although I'm really hungry right now for caramel ice cream. I did not have a trauma with it, obviously, in the past life. But I think that while everything that you're doing is wonderful professionally, scientifically speaking, it isn't addressing or answering or touching the spiritual gifts and treasures that you bring into this lifetime and that you feel. So pulling those two worlds together, especially with neuro and biofeedback, going to be hard. You're going to come to a place where you can either go traditional or go spiritual, and I suspect you'll go spiritual.
Okay. Well, maybe it'll be an opening of a door or something.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting, even though you've got the tools,
mm-hmm.
I feel it. How old are you, may I ask?
45.
Okay. So you've got the tools. By the time you're 55 or 60, you're going to be comfortable enough to say, well, I'm not going to practice according to the science. I'm going to go where my soul tells me to go. And,
yeah.
and that's when you flower. That's when you write your books. That's when you put connections between not only past life stuff, but animals as well, because animals are here as well.
Interesting.
Have you ever noticed? I have an apprentice who is doing her PhD. Her PhD project is on what is that quality that makes some people animal whisperers and some people not. And one of the realities that we've come up with is that people who are good with animals know how to get into alpha better than other people. Animals are almost constantly in alpha. And therefore, there is a channel that you are able to communicate through and over.
Oh, okay.
So that you know,
sounds like a boyfriend. He's good with animals.
But you'll notice that there's a sense of peace and calm, and it's taking yourself into alpha. It is adjusting your own energy to that level so that you can. Connect. And with what you're doing, I think you're looking for the same thing, but on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
You are highly intelligent, but even more so, you have that spiritual healing energy inside of you that, I mean, kinesiology, have you ever done that?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I mean, you need to keep it balanced. If you don't keep it balanced, you're going to strangle yourself on the science end of an amazing career. But
okay,
but, you know, gather your tools and keep yourself balanced. A form of meditation of some sort is really important.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was hoping to do with this, is to help teach people to meditate to get into that state.
If you're going to do that, then you have to take it out of the science.
Oh, that's fine. I have no problems with that.
Okay, because you know, anybody who meditation isn't just sitting and listening, although that's basically what it is, but most people have minds that are so, you know, constantly turned on that it's very hard for them to turn that off and get and allow themselves to listen. And even if they allow themselves to listen, they're analyzing what they're hearing, and therefore it takes them out of that state. So that lots of people do things like knitting or gardening, or, you know, just so that their mind is elsewhere, so that their spirit can soar.
Mm-hmm.
And what you have is a measurement tool, but if they're looking at a measurement tool, they're yanking themselves down to fourth chakra energy as opposed to allowing their crown to open up and channel the energy of the universe. A dilemma.
Yeah. Well, and I see it exactly how you're saying it spiritually. I guess that's mm-hmm. why the way I'm already seeing using it.
Yeah, no, I think as a tool for diagnosis, maybe. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous. Look into some of the network chiropractic stuff. My only concern or the only problem I have with network chiropractic is that they sense knots of energy, they pull them out, but they don't look at them and see what they are and help the person understand what it is they're releasing.
Right.
So unless you know, your chiropractor is an intuitive who can do that, quite often, especially with women, there is a sense of they bring knots into this lifetime that had to do with abuse and rape. And if suddenly mm-hmm. somebody releases that energy, it's very confusing emotionally, so that they need to be talked down as to what mm-hmm. it is they're letting go of. And chiropractors don't do that. So that's my only issue. But I think you're going to be spectacular. I think that you're planning things well. You're expanding yourself well. I think you've got an amazing relationship, and I think that your partner right at this time has a great sense of humor, which he'd have to be with you. So, and he's totally not impressed. He's just a good person.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, I mean, you need somebody that will ground you, and
yeah.
I think he will do just that. And he does it very unceremoniously, and he's not impressed, and that's a good thing. I mean, he totally honors you and values you and treasures you, but I don't think that in any way, shape, or form, you are a threat to him, and that's a good thing, because you could be a threat to somebody. And I'm not talking, you know, a threat or a danger. You're very competitive. He's not. Mm. And you know, if you had two people that were like you in a relationship, it just wouldn't work. I'm sorry. Good relationship. He's definitely
great.
Okay?
Okay.
Well, thank you for calling. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks very much for your help.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Take care now.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Okay, we've got Tracy in Kansas. Hi, Tracy. Are you there?
Oh, I think this is Sandy.
Sandy, okay.
In Minnesota.
Yes, it is. You know what? My switchboard jumped. Hi, Sandy. How are you doing?
Well, I'm kind of having a hard day.
Okay.
And I've kind of had a hard 2 years ever since my husband died. And I know yours died as well, and I'm really sorry about that. And I'm amazed at your attitude.
I'm not sad he died, because to tell you the truth, he was really, really sick, and he's in a much better place now.
Well, that's a very good way to look at that. Since my husband died, I'm trying to figure out my life. And it's been 2 years. And I'm just wondering if you have any insight or direction about what I should do next. I'm seriously thinking about moving, and I'm wondering if you see anything with that.
Well, it is a year here where you need to look at yourself and you need to sort of take stock. And anything that you do in this next year has to be done because it's good for you, not because people think it's good for you, but because you truly believe it's good for you.
Well, that's the hard part, is knowing what is good for me or not good for me. I have a son, and he does not want to move, and he's making it kind of difficult for me. So I'm got to make sure I'm following the right path here.
Okay. How old is he?
13.
Okay.
And I think I've talked to you about him before. Did you have a son?
I do.
And you had to move?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. And he didn't want to move, and so I killed myself for 6 months.
Right.
Getting up at 6 in the morning. And,
I remember now. Well, and I just found out supposedly my son has autism, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of dealing with a lot of factors here.
Well, he's got to be pretty high functioning if you haven't noticed it before now.
Right, right.
But you're looking for things to blame in there, and you're trying to take everything into consideration. And the reality here is, it's time for you to move on, and the universe wants you to move on. And it doesn't mean you have to move. It just means you have to kind of get your life back together and start functioning. And that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
Are you working currently now?
No.
Well, I want you to get a job first. You're thinking too much. You're spending too much time thinking about what should you do and not actually feeling about what you should do. And my strong feeling here is that what's going on inside of you is you want to make sure you don't make a mistake. Reality is you can't make a mistake. It's impossible for you to make a wrong move here. It feels as though you have a great balance in your life. It feels as though you're trying to keep everything steady, and you're not allowing growth to happen, and growth needs to happen. So before you decide to pack up and look around and move in another direction, get a job, get out there and start moving, mingling with society. And I'm not seeing it being so important as to what you do, just that you do something. And you can volunteer. I want you out of the house. What do you do every day?
Not much.
Okay.
That's been tough. I did have a job, and I quit at the end of last year because I just needed some time for myself. I was working too much, and I didn't have time to just be me and figure out what I wanted to do with my life.
Okay. Well, I want you to go out and get one of those at-a-glance calendars, that you can write in.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to take classes. I want you to volunteer your time in places. And when something doesn't feel right, you just quit and you move on to something else. I want you to get back out into life. And this can be, it can be really exciting. I want you to take, I almost said, and I stopped myself, and I'm going to still say it, belly dancing lessons. I want you to put yourself in positions that are uncomfortable for you, but have a great deal of laughter and joy connected to them. I'm not saying I want you to practice it. I want you to learn it. I want you to loosen up. I'm sure if I said take yoga, you'd be fine and you'd sign up for yoga lessons, but I'd rather you do something that's going to have you absolutely giggling like crazy, because you have just not lived for the last couple of years.
No, I haven't.
And I want you to take dancing lessons. I want you to put yourself out there. I want you to find a church of some sort where they have, great wine that they give you for communion. So, and good tasting bread. And, you go for the fun. You haven't had any fun. And you need to put the fun back in your life. From what I can tell here, it is truly time for you to take care of yourself. And I know you don't know what you want to be if you grow up. I understand that. But you're never going to grow up. And so that's the important thing for you to understand. You have to try on a lot of stuff because you're suddenly, you had yourself in a cubby hole. You were a wife and you were a mother and you worked and that was fine. But right now there's a big empty gaping hole here. So let's put fun stuff in it. Let's you know, I think you and your son,
you know, things just aren't fun anymore. So I'm having a hard time figuring out what will be fun, you know.
Well, I will tell you how you know if it's fun. If you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You've got friends who feel sorry for you. You don't want those friends. You want friends who will say to you, come on, let's go out and have dinner and see a good movie. You have wonderful friends who have been protecting you. Unfortunately, they've been protecting you to the point that you forgot what life was. So, and they're good friends. Don't get
me wrong.
I was going
to really don't have hardly any friends, and that's part of the problem, too, because I don't know enough people.
Then you put yourself out there so that you can find the crazy people that I see in your life. You need to find, you need to put yourself out there so that people can be drawn to you. And the only way I know of doing that is taking your calendar and putting things in it, whether it is...
I joined a ladies' bowling league.
That's a start. That's a great start.
Well, and I did apply to volunteer to hospital. I just haven't heard anything back yet.
Then you apply someplace else.
Yeah.
Put yourself, you know, just take the count. I'm serious. You take the at a glance and you just look at it. You look at the adult ed classes that are going on and you sign up for a couple of them, whether it's a book club, whether it's learning how to play bridge, whether it's I'd like to see you do more computer stuff because your son is way ahead of you as far as that goes. I would sign him up and go with him and find the local zip line and take some, you know what the zip lines are?
You are way out there, aren't you? Wow.
Yes.
I wouldn't even know where to find a zip line.
you Google it. They tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I live in the country, too, so there isn't a lot.
And you have a car, and you can drive places.
Yeah.
Come on. This is, you know, find stuff that is weird and wonderful. And where are you? You're in Minnesota. Oh,
yeah.
God, you have snow, too. I lived in Minnesota for a while. I know what those drifts are like, but you have the Mississippi River there, and they do tubing down it, and you know you know sooner or later you will find things that appear to be so crazy you just can't believe it. I'm not going to tell you to skydive. I'm not going to tell you to bungee jump. But I think you and your son need to discover what fun is together. And a 13-year-old will be totally resistant.
Yeah, I can't. Anything, period.
Well, you threaten his life, you know. I said a number of times to my son, I gave you life, I'll take it away.
Wow.
And, you know, until you're 21, it's mine to do. And you know, they you know, I think you have such an exciting year ahead of you, and you can schedule it, and that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to start scheduling it. And you know, when something doesn't work, you move on. You don't sit back and say, well, I knew that wouldn't work and yada, yada, yada. You find something else to stick in it. And
do you keep going. Do you think a move is in the works with that, do you think?
I think that first you have to find fun in your life, and then I don't think you need to move. You're just looking to move because you don't have any fun here. And the reality is you make fun. You find fun.
I don't have any family here either. I just feel very alone. And I wanted to move back closer to my family.
And where are they?
In Wisconsin.
Oh, I do remember you.
Yeah.
I would give it 6 months, and if in 6 months it just doesn't feel right, then I'd pick up and move. And your son will absolutely have to come because you'll take all his underwear with you.
Yeah.
And
okay.
It feels as though you have to do what's right for you. And so long as you're happy and excited and everything, he will follow. It's, you know, he's caught in your depression. And he doesn't know how to make changes. And you don't either, but you will learn. He will learn from you.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. You're so welcome. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye now. those of you that have been screened, you hang on, because Jeannie and I will catch you up. We've got somebody who got dropped, Amber. Okay. Hi, Amber, are you there?
Hi, yeah, I am.
Okay. Sorry about that. Switchboard does jump around. How can I help?
Oh, I'm going to be moving soon. And I'm really worried about it. I'm really iffy about, like, the financial situation, even though I feel really strongly about moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to move in with one of my best friends. So,
when does the move happen?
This summer.
Oh,
so
I think this is, no, I think this is spectacular. I think June and July both have guardian angels here. So that would definitely say that anything and everything you do is certainly being guided and watched over by spirits. So I think you're in a great place.
Oh, good.
I'm not seeing any difficulties here. I'm seeing the universe laughing at you because it's almost like you're trying to figure out what could go wrong, and everything you think about will not happen. Other things will happen, but you certainly will be you'll do very, very well. I see a great deal of harmony and love and laughter here.
Oh, good. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. You are easy.
Well, honestly, it's the money situation that I'm worried about. I mean, I know I need to find a job when I move, and it should be fine, but just not knowing when and how and if I'll find a job is what's scaring me, you know?
Oh, of course you're going to find a job. I think you just have to, it's the element of trust. You're taking a leap of faith, and it's a good leap. And the universe will certainly open the doors for you. I mean, the universe does that when we trust ourselves and we trust the universe. So this is a good move for you. This is a great move, and the job will be there faster than you know. So don't worry about the money. The money is the least of your problems, trust me.
Okay, great.
Okay, you take it easy now.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, going to try for Tracy again. Tracy, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, how can I help today?
I just wanted some guidance. Which direction I should look career-wise? I feel like the job I'm in is kind of stagnant, and it's time to move on.
It is. It's been time to move on for quite a while, actually.
Yeah.
And I think it's important. What is it you do or are doing now?
Accounting, clerical work. And I enjoy the work, just not, I guess, in the capacity that I'm doing it in. And some of the people I work with are difficult. And I've been telling myself that I'm there to learn a lesson or to be in their path for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And it's hurting my soul at this point.
Yeah, no, it feels as though you have the right idea. It is time to move on. It does feel as though the universe has been giving you hints that it was. And I think that in many cases, you know, knowing that we're there to trigger things for other people to learn and where to learn and all of that, that's true. But I don't think the universe ever keeps you in place overly long for those reasons. I think... And I think you've been overly long where you are. It feels as though you should have moved on quite a while ago.
Yeah.
It looks here as though you're at a place where you're actually finally being truthful with yourself. And, you know, you don't have to rationalize this. You just have to admit that it's time you moved on, and it absolutely is time you moved on.
Yes.
Are you putting feelers out there? Are you...
I'm just starting to look, but I'm not sure. I've always done this type of work, and sometimes I feel like I want to go into the healthcare field, but I don't see myself in nursing.
No, I don't see you in nursing either, but I think healing and that aspect of helping people on an emotional level, I think you are a healer, but I think you do it with words rather than hands-on type stuff. I think you are the kind of person people gravitate to when they have a problem and a difficulty, and you're a great listener. And that is definitely a skill that not everyone has.
Yeah, I feel that too.
And I think that from what I'm seeing here is, first of all, the accounting and everything, that's your job. You have to have that to eat and to have food on the table and a roof over your head and stuff like that. But I think that spiritually speaking, the compassionate work and the healing skills that you have verbally are profound. And I would look for a place where you could really hone those skills. I would look for a spiritualist church. I would look for classes in developing, not mediumship, because I don't think mediumship is the way that you would go, but expanding on your intuitive skills would be a wonderful thing for you to do, because I think that you have a talent, a skill, and a gift here, and that once that is in place and functioning and you can actually help other people verbally, that the job and the spiritual and the intuitive will balance beautifully, and life will be far richer and amazingly, profoundly exciting for you.
Oh, I hope so.
Definitely. But you know, it's a matter of, okay, just make sure the other part of your life, the spiritual part of your life, is functional, is creative, is moving, has stuff going on in it. I taught special ed for 25 years, and while it was a very rewarding career, it didn't touch that other aspect of me. And until the spiritual stuff was put in place, there was a lopsidedness to my life.
Yes. So work, you mean work-wise needs to touch?
No, I can see nothing spiritual about accounting.
I need to work towards that. Making them cohesive.
Yes, and it's just that you need to sort of get more energy put into the spiritual aspect of your life, and there's a cognizant understanding of that spiritual side and how you are manifesting it, living it, and integrating it into your life. And once you do that, and you don't give lectures to people or anything like that, it's just that you start to living that philosophy to a deeper degree. Going to be profound. You're going to find that everything takes on a far richer hue because of it.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thanks for holding on. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I've had a great time listening.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I will be back here next Friday, so check in and let me know how things are going.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care now. Bye-bye.